This morning's scripture reading will be from John chapter 17, verses 17 through 24. John 17, 17 through 24. We're reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, "Sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which I have given, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world."
What a blessing it is to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. And as we have been talking for the last couple of weeks concerning growth, and how God wants us to grow, wants us to mature. And friends, I truly believe that this is something that all of us need to consider. Growing in Christ. The reason why we want to grow is because we want to be just like our Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 5, verse 44. I love the text that was just read, and the reason why is because we find our Savior in one of the most greatest prayers that you will ever read. We'll find him going to his God in prayer right before he goes to his crucifixion, his scourging. And friends, as we are considering what it takes to grow, we talked on the first week, growth requires denial. We talked about how we ought to be denying ourselves and how this is supposed to be something that we do every single day. Luke 9, verse 23. We talked about how growth requires grace. And it is because of the grace of God we can grow. We can mature. You keep in mind the purpose of the church, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, "For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Friends, it is because of the grace of God we can even have the opportunity to grow. But then on last week, last Sunday night, we talked about growth requires mercy. And we looked at the very challenging lesson there. And how sometimes we are not the most merciful people. As a matter of fact, we need to be a people of mercy, because when you consider the very character of God, Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7, God himself is a merciful God. He is one that desires mercy. He takes delight in mercy. He is a God of mercy. And when we understand that we need to grow in mercy, we'll begin to grow more and more every single day. But today I want us to consider two things. This morning, growth requires sanctification in the truth. And on tonight, growth requires fellowship and accountability. Y'all come back tonight, you hear? You think about the growth that requires sanctification. Spiritual growth is always the goal. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Mature. God has never wanted his people to stand still, to be stagnant. As a matter of fact, he encourages us, 2 Corinthians 13:5, to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Remember, growth. It means to mature. It means that we ought to be a people who are bringing our spiritual life to a completion. What type of completion? The completion of Christ. To think like Christ. To be like Christ. To have the mind of Christ. To be just like our Father which is in heaven. I like what Paul said as it relates to growing up. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 20, he says, Be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children. Now, think about this before we go further. God wants us to be a people who grow, who mature, but when it comes to ill will, he says, be children. Be immature when it comes to ill will. Be immature when it comes to doing someone harm. But when it comes to understanding, be men. Men mature, grow. 1 John 4 and verse number 18, here he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, mature love. A love that is growing, cast out all fear. God wants us to grow. But then we understand that God wants us to grow. And the reason why we can grow is because of the sanctification that God has given us. Friends, sanctification is powerful, for it means, listen, hallowed, holy, sacred, set apart, dedicated. You love those terms? Those are some powerful terms. And you know what, friends? They all describe Jehovah. God himself is dedicated to us, to the world. He is even dedicated to sinners, for God so loved the world that he gave. God is a dedicated God. He's holy, meaning that he's set apart. He's sacred. And when we consider the God of heaven, he desires for us to be just like him. But this particular word has an even deeper meaning. It literally means to render respect and honor. Sanctification. Now, all this is going to play a vital role when we get into the very prayer of Jesus in John 17, which requires us to have if we're going to be a people who mature in the faith. This concept of sanctification is nothing new. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, there you'll find God setting apart a day, the seventh day. And the reason why he set that day apart from all other days, because that was the day in which he rested from all his labors. Oh no, God was not tired. God does not grow fatigue. God does not slumber, nor does he sleep. God rested, meaning he was completed. All of his work came to a maturity, if you will. This idea is even seen under the Mosaic system, where we find God telling Moses to tell Aaron to sanctify his two sons in Exodus 28 and verse number 41. Why? At the end of that verse, you'll see these words, for they shall be priests unto me. They are a set apart people. Isn't it ironic that God himself sanctified himself? What do we mean by that? John 17 and verse number 19, Jesus, who is God, John 1 and verse number 1, says, I sanctify myself, but I didn't do that for me only. I did that for those who would come after me. Jesus sanctifies himself. He sets himself apart from all others. No wonder when we consider the God of heaven, when we consider Jesus the Christ, he is the one that sets all of those who follow him apart by his truth. Therefore, when we consider Jesus, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 30 and 31. He said that Jesus became the wisdom from God for us and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Friends, why are we bringing these points out? The very fact that sanctification has always been in the mind of God, because God has always been set apart from sin. He has always been set apart from that which is unholy. He has always been set apart from all things. Here we see Jesus Christ says that I sanctify myself. I set myself apart as well. And Paul, by inspiration, says that Jesus is the very wisdom of God, and he is the one that is set apart. He is the one that brings forth redemption, and he is the ultimate when it comes to righteousness. That's our Lord. That's Jesus Christ. So in Christ, we have been set apart to the glory of God. In Christ, we are the ones that God wants to have the word within them. Why? Because we are a set apart people for a set apart task, to do a set apart work, to go into a world that doesn't care about being set apart for spiritual reasons, but for other reasons. Growth requires sanctification. Growth requires us being set apart. holy, dedicated, sacred, different. In Acts chapter 26, verse number 18, Paul, he says something very powerful. And I sum this particular verse up like this. Therefore, because of the work of God in Christ, our eyes have been opened. We have been turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, in order that we may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among all them that are sanctified by faith in Christ. I said all that to say this. Friends, if we're going to grow, we have to intentionally want to be set apart. Set apart from sin. Set apart from that which is unholy. Which requires the very last thing that I want us to talk about on today. Truth. Which gives us the very title of this lesson, Growth Requires Sanctification in the Truth. Now notice, what is truth? Listen to this. Truth is superior, for it governs everything we do and determines, watch it now, who we are. Think about that. Truth governs everything we do and governs who we are, regardless whether an individual wants to obey truth or not. Truth will always be factual. Five things that the Bible teaches us concerning truth. Number one, God is truth. We see that in Exodus chapter 34, verse 5 and 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. John 14 and verse number 6. Paul, by inspiration, says in Ephesians 4 and verse 21 that the truth is in Jesus. Jesus himself says about the Holy Spirit, John 16 and verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. When we understand the Holy Spirit and we understand his work, he came to do work for God. Here, the word of God is truth. In John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Four things we already have seen. We've seen God is truth. Jesus is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. His word is truth. And you know what else? God wants us to walk in truth. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, John, by inspiration, says very powerfully, he says, I find no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. Five things we see there, friends. All based upon the facts that God has given us. Truth. So the question we have to ask ourselves is this. Do we want to grow? I believe we all want to. I believe all of us want to mature. I believe all of us have a desire to not be the same person today that I was 3 years ago. I truly believe that all of us have a desire to walk closer and closer to Christ. I truly believe that all of us have a desire to live with God throughout eternity. But the only way that that's going to take place, friends, you and I must walk in truth. You and I have to embrace truth. You and I have to embrace the Word and everything that the Word teaches us and directs us to do in this life. Number one, I want us to notice in John 17, verses 17 through 26, I'm going to give you these points. And I'm going to let us go because I want us to consider something as it relates to why would Jesus pray this prayer? Number one, we can grow through the overcoming work of Christ. In John chapter 16, verses 25 through 30, put that in your notes. I guarantee you it will bless your life when you go back and you read it. Here we find in this very powerful section of scripture that Jesus Christ teaches his disciples that I myself have overcame the world. I did it. I made it. I've done the will of God. I've succeeded. I did exactly what he has taught me to do. Notice verse 25. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming which I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I will do, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me. Friends, did you hear that? Did you hear what Jesus told his apostles? He says, the Father loves you because you love me. Friends, do you love Jesus? Do you love God? And the Bible there teaches us very clearly that if we love Jesus, God loves us. But then notice verse 28. He says, I come forth from the Father and have come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, see, now you're not speaking in figurative language. You're speaking plainly now and using no figurative figure of speech. Now we are sure. Now notice, friends, we can grow because of the overcoming work of Christ. But because of the clear message that Jesus was giving his apostles, i.e. disciples, and by way, us today, because of the clear message that he was given, we can know for a fact that we will overcome as well, because Jesus overcame. Drop down to verse number 33. Notice what he says. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now I want you to leave your finger or marker there and go to Revelation 2. I want to show you something real swiftly. In Revelation 2, Jesus is talking to one of the churches of Asia Minor. The church of Smyrna, to be exact. And notice verse number 10 and verse number 11. He says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison in order that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. You're going to have trouble in your life. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Here it is. He who has ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. I like to say it like this, friends, and I believe that it is a very great word of encouragement for us. The very fact that Jesus Christ overcame the world, we can overcome the world. The very fact that Jesus told the church of Smyrna that if you overcome, if you stay faithful, you'll overcome as well, which teaches us in order for us to come over, we got to overcome. Johnny Ramsey said a long time ago, and I love that man. I love the work that he did. He said, when you overcome sin, self, and Satan, Jesus said, then you can come over. That's a powerful statement. That's a powerful statement. And friends, we can overcome. We can do this. We can win, all because of the great work of Jesus Christ. So, three things facilitate our growth. A clear message, an overcoming Christ, and no fear. One brother said a while back, he was preaching. He said, there's one thing to be preaching to those who are outside of Christ. They need the gospel. But those inside of Christ need the gospel as well. But what gospel? The same gospel. That gospel that strengthens the soul, that keeps us keep hanging on when we want to give up. Friends, this is a battle. It's a fight. And we can overcome if we just follow the overcoming Christ. Number two, we can grow because of the work of Christ. We see this in verses 1 through verse 16. Not going to go through all of this. But friends, when you have an opportunity, look at the word world in chapter 17. 19 times Jesus refers to this in his prayer to his Father. 19 times. I just say that's so powerful, because Jesus had to fight the world just like we do. He had to fight the ideas. He had to fight the temptations. He had to fight all of the ideologies that we have to fight even today. Yet because of the work of Christ, God himself blessed him. Number one, in verse 2, he gave him, verse 2 and 3, gave him authority over all flesh. You know who all flesh is? That's all of us. Matthew 28, verse 18. He has authority over all people. Here's the problem. And this is what draws tears out of my eyes, Brother Nate. This is what draws tears out of my eyes at times. All men have not submitted to the authority of Christ. But he has authority over all flesh. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Jesus said, Paul said, all knees shall bow. Black knees, white knees, Chinese, Japanese, all knees. Everybody's going to bow before Jesus. Why? Because he has authority over all people. Let's submit to him. Let's do this today. He finished his work in verse number 4. He prayed for the glory that he had before the world began, verse number 5. But friends, notice verse number 6 is powerful. In verse number 6, we see something about our Lord. He says, I have revealed your name to the men whom you have given me. Notice the phraseology, out of the world. What does that teach us? It teaches us that the men in which God chose and that Jesus went and he picked out, he picked them up out of the world and he put them in his graces. He taught him this, his word. And when he taught him his word, then he was able to send them out. You know what the beautiful thing about that is? Colossians 1 verse 13. For us, God himself, when we obeyed the gospel, plucked us out of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we obeyed that gospel, and because of that gospel, we can go out and tell the world that you need to come up out of the world too. But there's only one way to do that. It's through the work of Christ. Look at 1 Peter 2. Look at verse number 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10, God did us a favor, friends. He could have left us in our sin. And I believe as the Lord's church, if we're going to grow spiritually, I'm not talking about numerically, I'm talking about spiritually, we have to realize that God did us a favor. And the favor he did, friends, is giving us a name, giving us an identity. In First Peter chapter 2, starting in verse number 9, notice what your Bible there has to say. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9, but you are a chosen generation. Notice the language. Church, notice the language here. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Friends, you are special. I am special. We're not nobodies in this earth. We're somebody because we have the name of God. We have been drawn out of the world by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if anything is going to help us grow, it's going to be that. Why? Because we have been sanctified. We are a special people. But notice, why are we a special people? What does God want us to do with this special identity that he has given us? That we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of, there's that same language, out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Friends, you're special. Stop acting like you're not. I think I'm talking more to myself than I am to anybody in this building. Sometimes we act like we're not a special people. We are a privileged people because we have been smeared, covered, anointed by the blood of Christ. We're special. And sometimes what they do to special people is talk crazy about them. One preacher said this to me one time. He said, you know, we're called ministers, servants for a reason. Don't get upset when they treat you like such. It's a blessing to be a minister of Christ. And I'm talking about a preacher. I'm talking about a servant of Jesus Christ, a Christian. The best place you'll ever be is in Christ. Why? We are a special people. Go back to John 17 and verse number 8. I love, this was one of the most richest studies that I've been in a long time. And notice what he says in verse number 8. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. Now friends, if we're going to be a sanctified people, if we're going to be a set apart people, if we're going to grow, if we're going to come out of the world, that means we need to understand and we need to take in the words that was given to the apostles. No wonder we apply the apostles' doctrine to our lives, Acts 2. So Jesus said, I gave them the words you have given me and they have received them. I wish I could stop preaching right now, Brian, but I can't. Look at that. Look at that, friends. There's one thing to hear God's word. There's another thing to take it in. There's one thing to hear what God has said. There's another thing to take it in and say, I will do what you have said. I'm not going to say, I have read that, but I'm going to read it. I'm going to take it in. I'm going to apply it to my life, and I'm going to grow. I was telling the college kids earlier, I said, when you think of the fruit of the Spirit, you think of a pear that is on a tree. And when it first began to bloom and began to produce, it's still a pear. But it's not ready and ripe and ready to eat yet. But when it gets ripe, then you can eat it. Friends, it was still a pear when it wasn't ripe. You know what that teaches us? That we need to give people time to ripen up. Maybe if we're not giving people time to ripen up, maybe we're not as ripe as we thought we were. Boy, that's good preaching right there. That's gospel meeting preaching right there. Friends, we got to give each other time to consider the things that God has said. And that's one thing I love about Jesus. Jesus gave his disciples time to consider the words of God. And no wonder at the end of his life, in his prayer, he could say, I have given them your word. And guess what, Father? They have received them. They're ripe. They're ready. They're ready to go out. Question, are you ripe? Are you ready? Are you spending time with that which is going to help you mature and grow? But then, verse 11, notice, he says, I have given them a name. I gave them your name. Verse 11, we have a name. Christian, Acts 11, verse 26. Jesus said in verse number 15, guard them. Father, I need you to guard them. How does God put a hedge around us? Now, all young people, listen to me right now. If you don't hear nothing else I say, if you've been asleep this whole time, wake up for this. The only way we're going to be guarded is by the word of God. You stay in God's word, that's where the guarding is. But what is God going to guard? Matthew 10, verse 28. Fear not him that can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. God guards our soul. He guards our being. He guards marriages when we stay within the confines of the word. He guards children when parents bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He guards grandparents when grandparents are doing their responsibility of helping their children to bring up their children. He guards our hearts. He guards our souls. And here Jesus is telling the Father, guard them. Guard them. And we know he's talking about their souls because the apostles, they died horrible deaths. So we know he's not talking about their bodies. He's talking about guarding them. Put a hedge around them. But then notice verse number 16. Verse 16, we have an identity. And the question is, what is your identity? He says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctifying. Here's where we get to our lesson. We can grow through the word of truth. We can grow through the overcoming Christ. We can grow because of the work of Christ. But friends, we can grow because of the word of truth. Notice what Jesus says. He says, sanctify, set them apart, make them sacred, make them dedicated, by your truth. Thy word is truth. Friends, the only way that we can know truth, we've got to go to the word. The apostles' doctrine. The word of God. It's not what the world thinks, what we think. It's about what God says. And I guarantee you, that's what's going to set us apart. Truth. I've heard so many messages this week from politicians. I've heard so many messages this week from false teachers. I've heard so many messages from brethren. And I myself have thought some messages that had to be filtered through the word of truth. Amen. You know why I'm saying this? It's because sometimes if we're not careful, we'll take our thoughts and say that has to be true because I'm thinking it. But politicians lie. False teachers lie. People lie. I just told my daughter yesterday, I was talking to her, KK, I said, Kayla, check the source. People lie. I'm not saying don't trust man, but I am saying this. You can trust one being. That's Jehovah. All the time. And everyone who speaks like Jehovah, that's the ones we trust. That's so comforting. Because God never lies. And God always sets his people apart through truth. And this is why Jesus in his prayer says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And notice what he says in verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Hold on. Hebrews 3 and verse number 1. Jesus Christ, an apostle. And he sends the apostles out. This apostle and high priest sends the apostles out. And for their sake, verse 19, I set myself apart in order that they may be sanctified by truth. Jesus, what are you teaching? Look at Hebrews 2, verses 9 through 11 as we come to a close. In Hebrews 2, verses 9 through 11, brethren, think about this. Jesus sets himself apart from all others, and those who follow him must set themselves apart from anything that doesn't look like or fit into the realm of Christ. But we see Jesus, who's made a little lower than the angels, meaning that he could die, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Here it is. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies, that's God, and those who are being sanctified, that's us, are all of one for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Friends, notice this. The one that does the sanctifying, God, is not ashamed of the ones who have been sanctified. Yes. And the ones who have been sanctified and the ones that does the sanctifying, guess what? We're one with God. I don't know about you, friends, but that is so encouraging. It is so encouraging that I can know that I can read God's word for myself. I can understand it for myself. I can be one with God because of what God has left in his word for myself. And that's what sets me apart from sin. And when I understand God's will, when I understand his purpose, when I understand his word, therefore I am running away from sin. I'm running away from that which is wrong. And if I'm not a Christian, I'm running to the water to be baptized into Christ. Why? I want to come up out of the world and be set apart from the world that I can be one with the one who sanctifies all who are sanctified. Wow. And you know what, friends? Growth requires us being set apart by truth. Question. What is truth? Jesus is truth. Are you sanctified? Have you been set apart? Are you different? I tweeted the other day, Christianity is intentional. Christianity is intentional. Those who go to heaven is not by accident. Trust me, you will not, and end up in heaven. It don't work that way. Everyone who goes to heaven are going because they intentionally made up their mind to go. Question. Are we set apart? Are we willing to grow? Are we willing to tell ourselves no? Are we willing to tell ourselves yes to God? Are we willing to say yes to the gospel? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are we willing to put away denominational teaching? Are we willing to put away the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life? Are we willing to be set apart and be different? For we are different. Because Jesus was different. His words are different. His thoughts are different. His ideas are different. And if I had time, I would look at verse 24 through 26. And he says, I will give them your love. If I could only demonstrate how much God loves us, it would blow our minds. He has given us his word to show us how much he loves us. Have you ever received a phone call or a text message or a letter or an email from someone and you just started smiling? It brought joy to your heart? That's how God's word ought to do. It ought to do that. It ought to bring great joy to our heart. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to bring a lesson. And it's going to demonstrate that the only way to have joy is to read what is written. Real joy comes from God. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to grow because sanctification and truth requires that to take place. We want you to mature. And you're never too old to mature. You're never to mature to mature. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in Christ, we can grow up even more. Because Christ is the example. Let us stand. If you're not a Christian, obey the gospel. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. Turn away from sin. Turn to God. Confess Jesus Christ. You don't have to confess your sin because God already knows that. And be baptized in the water for the remission of your sins. But if you're a child of God and you haven't been growing, friends, let's grow. Let's not think the same way. Let's not be the same person. Tomorrow, examine yourself and say, you know what, I'm better than what I was yesterday. I think different. Let's grow. And when we grow, God gets the glory and our lives are enhanced. As we sing the Savior's invitation.